And we have Christmas looming, so we have got the tree up because we like to get the tree up by the end of November, so that way we get an entire month to actually enjoy our decorations. And we also have the beginning of this term's Advent series. And that word Advent simply means arrival. So the Advent season is remembering the arrival of Jesus Christ. The word Christmas is got Christ and then Mass, and the word Mass means celebration. So Christmas is a celebration of Christ. And that's what we're going to be doing. It's when we celebrate Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, who was in the beginning God and who was God. And in John 1:14, it says he became flesh and he dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus exchanged his throne for a manger. Jesus exchanged his crown for a cross. And why did he do that? And it tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 2, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So Advent is a season of celebration where God fulfilled his promise to send a Savior. Right at the beginning, when sin entered the world, he said he would send a Savior. Advent is this time of celebrating the fulfillment. And then we have a second Advent to look forward to because Jesus said, I am coming again. So in the last book of Revelation, in the second last verse, we read Jesus' promise saying, yes, I am coming soon. That's his return. And our response to that is, amen, Lord Jesus, come quickly. So Christmas is a time when families gather around beautifully decorated trees. And I want to just shift our thinking on that in today's service, that when we are gathering with our families around that tree, that we would be reminded of Jesus' family tree, which is what this whole series, Advent series, is about. And perhaps if you thought that your family tree had a few bent branches and a few colourful characters, well, have a look at Jesus' family tree. And all you have to do is look in Matthew chapter 1, and there are 28 generations listed before the birth of Jesus. And amongst those 28 generations are some names of some very colourful characters and very colourful stories. And in this Advent series, we are going to be looking at four of them. Today, we're going to look at Abraham. We're going to look at Rahab, Ruth, and also David. And each one of them, we're going to look at their faith and their failures, and how they too were grafted into Jesus' family tree. Romans 5 verse 20 says, but as the people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. As the people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So that means that there is hope. There is hope for each one of us because of Jesus Christ. There is hope for our friends. There's hope for our families. There's hope for our children. There is hope for the generations that are yet to come, and there is hope for each one of us. And so today's title of this Advent message is actually called Hope. And we're going to be focusing on the story of Abraham. We need hope in this world. We live in a world where many feel without hope. Many feel hopeless. Many of our 34 Ukrainian women came to Arise, and their hope had worn thin. They've had 7 months of war, praying for it to cease, 7 months of praying for the bombs to stop falling. And so far their prayers were seemingly unanswered. They have got friends, family members, children, people in their church and community who have died in this war. Some who they are separated from because people are displaced out of their homes, and they're also even refugees in other nations. Somehow living in unfamiliar places. They've lost jobs. They've lost their business. They've lost their church. They've lost their community. There are many cities and apartment blocks and buildings and factories that have been destroyed. And so life is very different. And it, at the moment, there's no end in sight. And so that's why their hope has worn thin. I want to tell you the story of Vera. Vera from Utes Bible College. Utes stands for United Evangelical Theological Seminary. What a label. It just means it's the Bible college in Kiev. And she reported that at best they have 2 hours a day of electricity, with 40% of all the power stations blown up. For the last 3 days, I just spoke with another girl, they've had no electricity, nothing. No hot water or gas to heat their home. Now, Vera and Sergei's home mercifully is still standing, but it's housing 25 people. Vera has to cook on a barbecue outside. So Vera was at a rise. She cooks on this barbecue. They have to bathe in buckets of cold water outside. Every day, they cook for 250 people who come from around Bucha, which is the city that the Bible College is in. It's one of the ones that was the worst bombed. And they cook for the people at the Bible College. In just 3 days' time, it will be winter in Ukraine. Today, it is -1, a low of -1, and a high of 2 degrees. And it's raining today. But by the end of this week, which will land them in December, the beginning of winter, it will be -8 degrees. I don't know what temperatures you have experienced, and I don't know if you've been without heating during those times. It's very dire in Ukraine for this winter. The only heating will be with wood fires, and just surviving this winter will be tough, let alone a war going on. Our Ukrainian friends' Christmas is going to be very different to your and my Christmas. And yet, Psalm 42, verse 5b says, "And yet I will put my hope in the Lord." And yet I will put my hope in the Lord. We witness the power of hope in the Jesus rising in each woman throughout a rise. We witness burdens being lifted, healing being ministered, and hope being restored over this 10-day period where the word was preached, where there was worship every day, where there was communion every day, where there were hugs, there were loving touches, there was the spa ministry. You saw some of these things I'm speaking about in the video. There were trauma workshops and healing ministry. There was restoration in the kintsugi room. That's where the bowls, each one had their broken bowl, which was restored. Artistic expression. There was dance therapy, art therapy, loving community, all meals shared together and hot running showers. Do you know the love of God can be expressed in a hot running shower? It was like for that time that we became the church for those 10 days. Living in close community, we witness that God heals and he restores hope, no matter how dire the situation or the trauma that you experience. But how does Abraham teach us about hope? I'm going to read from, we've all remember Abraham being in Hebrews 11, you know, father of the faith and listed among the greats of faith. And it says in Chapter 11 of Hebrews, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. And he went there without knowing where he was going. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. And then down to verses 8 to 12. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child when she was barren and too old. She believed God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. How would you like to be called that in the Bible? A nation with so many that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there was no way to count them. You see, what we forget is where Abraham came from. Abraham was called out of a pagan land from a pagan family practicing pagan religions. Abraham didn't have a great setup. He was from pagan, unbelieving, idol-worshipping nation. That's where God called him. And we know that because Joshua 2, verse 2b to 3 says, long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River, and they worshipped other gods. That's Abraham's background. But I took your ancestor Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates, and I led him into the land of Canaan, and I gave him many descendants through his son Isaac. God took Abraham from out of the pagan, unbelieving, idol-worshipping land and family, and he gave him a hope and a purpose. Never discount people from being invited to be a part of God's family tree. Because God starts with all of us exactly where we are, in the families, in the nations, maybe in the religion, whatever that was, or non-religion that we grew up with. God didn't wait until Abraham was circumcised and paying tithes before he made him a part of his family tree. In fact, Abraham lived before Moses even received the Ten Commandments. So there was no Bible for him to read. There were no Ten Commandments for him to obey. There was just Jesus making himself known and calling him out of that land into his family tree. One of our six Iranian women attending Arise shared her testimony with me during the beauty night. You might think, how does God work through a beauty night? Well, I was sitting next to this lady, and she was having her feet massaged, and I noticed a really big scar on her knee, and I went, oh goodness, what has happened to your knee? And she said to me, oh, and obviously was so keen to share her testimony, I was in a terrible skiing accident and the doctors were threatening to amputate my leg, and the scars were severe. And she said, I called out to Allah to save my leg. And she said, and I had a vision of Jesus. And he said to me, Rosa, follow me. Her leg was saved, but she didn't follow Jesus straight away. Some years later, Rosa was in an accident where her back was severely injured. She called out again. Jesus appeared to her a second time, and he said to her, Rosa, come follow me. Now, you would think second time would seal the deal, but as to be a believer in Iran is to have your life under threat, is to lose your family, is to lose your job. So she had this vision number two of Jesus himself visiting her in the back of her mind. She still did not respond. Some years later, there was a third visitation. You want to know how good Jesus is, how persistent he is, how longing he is for all his children to be in his family tree. He appeared to Rosa a third time. That was it. Rosa gave her heart completely to Jesus, denied the Muslim faith. As a result, Rosa had to leave Iran, and she now lives in Turkey, which is why she got to come and be a part of Arise this year, faithfully following Jesus. Amazing, amazing. Oops. Abraham reminds us that Jesus reaches out to us before we ever know him. He reaches out to us before we ever know him. And there's a words to an old hymn. It's not so much that I on thee took hold as thou, dear Lord, took hold on me. Jesus reached out first to Abraham. The second thing we're going to learn about hope from Abraham is that Abraham was counted right with God by faith. And I'm going to take us through some verses in Romans. We're going to start Romans 1 to 5, and then we're going to jump down to verse 13, verse 18. So it's on the screen to follow. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of the Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scriptures tell us Abraham believed and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift because there's something they've earned. But people are counted righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Down to verse 13. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship that comes by faith. Even when there is no reason, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. Great words. Believing that he would become the father of many nations. For that's what God said to him. That's how many descendants you will have. And down to verse 22 to 25 to finish it. But because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. Listen to that. It wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. The one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Abraham discovered that being made right with God, being invited into his family tree, did not depend on obeying all of God's laws. Because God called Abraham into his family long before he was ever circumcised. And he remained right with God by faith, not by obeying all God's laws. Abraham had many failures. Remember Ishmael. That was Abraham trying to help God fulfill his promises. God didn't just pluck Abraham off the family tree when he failed. Each time he failed, God would speak to Abraham and remind him of the promises. When he was starting to lose hope, starting to give up, God would speak again and remind him of the promises, which were not just for his generation. Those promises were for the generations that were yet to come. Leading up to that first event when Jesus would come. The birth of Rahab, the birth of Ruth, the birth of David would not have happened if Abraham hadn't still been in his place in God's family tree. Now we too, we're invited to be part of God's family tree in the same way Abraham was. We are invited to place our faith in Jesus Christ, in his completed work on that tree that sits between the two trees we learned about last week, the tree in the Garden of Eden of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree in the book of Revelation, the tree of life. And sandwiched between the two is the cross of Jesus Christ, positioned between those trees. Our place in Jesus' family tree is not earned through our obedience. It's the result of faith. Faith in Jesus. Although obedience will make our lives more fruitful. Obedience is good and we will be much more fruitful. But that is not how we come to belong in the family tree. Now, I know that at Christmas time, we're very conscious of family. Plans are being made. Menus are being thought up. Presents are being sent to other places where maybe we're conscious of a lack of family or distance of family or disappointment in family or conflict in family alongside of the joy and the blessing of family. Now, we should be greatly encouraged by this message from Abraham on hope and by Jesus' family tree this Christmas and with its colourful characters who were included in the genealogy of Jesus. And we're going to learn more about them as we go through each week. So don't miss a week. Next week, I think it's Rahab. The week after will be Ruth, and then it will be David. God positioned the family members of Christ to prepare the way for his coming, to prepare for his advent. And that is why Christmas is truly good news of great joy for all people. Have you put your hope in Jesus Christ? Are you counted right by faith in Jesus Christ? I'm asking those questions because if you don't have a yes to those questions, then this Christmas, this Advent, is your opportunity to say yes to Jesus, because you know what? He's going to make himself known to you. And there are all the obvious ways through his word and through community and people, but there are the many creative ways that Jesus has of breaking through unbelief, breaking through distance and finding us where we are and calling us to be part of his family. I'll just ask the worship team to come up, please. All we need to do is talk to him, a little bit like Rosa. Rosa, she called out Allah. Sometimes people call out God. Have you heard people use God's name a lot? And sometimes it's in vain. Sometimes it's in desperation. Oh, God. You know that? Because wired deep down is this knowledge. You see, we were created by him. So somewhere deep down, there's a knowledge of him. And so sometimes we call out, or they use Jesus' name frequently in all situations. But that he would hear. Because he's not waiting for you to get your ducks in a row. He's not waiting for you to have all the obedience things set up. He's calling you from out of pagan lands, pagan families, even pagan practices. He's calling you out to be part of his family tree. And doesn't matter how bent or how colourful our lives might have been, he's calling us to belong to his family. Arise is a wonderful experience of Paul's vision in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, where he said, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne before the Lamb. At Arise, we had 17 nations that the participants came from, mostly in the 1040 window. And we had 9 nations of team members. So all together there, 26 nations represented. And you saw on the video some of those nations walking under their flags on the opening night. We couldn't show all of them. You just saw some of them. But when you see 26 nations, it feels like the Olympic Games almost. Proudly walking under the flag that represented their nation. It captured your breath because we got a glimpse of the breadth and the depth and the height of the nations of the earth. Watching SBS doesn't quite cut it. We don't see much news from the other nations, but here we caught a picture, a vision of it. We tend to have too narrow a view of those that God has called into his family down the generations. Can I say the good news is the cross of Jesus Christ is not too narrow for all the nations of the earth. That's who Jesus' second advent is for. His second advent, his second arrival is for all the nations of the earth to be called into his family. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 are the words that Jesus left for his disciples when he returned to heaven. And they're the same words that he leaves for us today. He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations of the earth, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you even to the end of the age. We sort of think, oh, even to the end of the age, it's sort of like a full stop. No, to the end of the age means there are generations that are yet to come that he's going to be revealing himself to, and that he's going to be calling to be part of his family tree. We had 34 Ukrainian women in attendance, and they expressly give their thanks to you, Springfield Christian Family. They were so aware that it was purely grace and the generosity of a community of believers that had got them there. We also had 9 Russian women. Many of them were interpreters. They were serving on the team, and some were missionaries in Russia. And there was a little bit of uncomfortableness, awkwardness between the Russians and the Ukrainians. One young Russian woman, her name is Natalia, and she came up at dinner time to an exec member and myself, and she just said, I want to make an apology to the Ukrainians on behalf of my nation. How can I do this? And so we figured that we needed to speak to the Ukrainian leaders, that this was not something that could be forced. People have to be ready to receive that. So we spoke to the Ukrainian leaders of that group, and they, most of them, were ready to receive such an apology. On this night, it was called Prayer for All Nations, and that large conference room you saw was set up with stations for each nation where there was their flag and there were prayer points. And that nation would gather around their flag and pray through those prayer points. And then they would move on to the next nation, and the next nation, and the next nation. You saw some pictures of them gathered round. There were crosses on the table and there were the flags, and they're praying and interceding for each other's nations. The moment came when it was the Ukraine girls' turn to come up to the Russian girls. The Russian girls, because they were mostly interpreters and missionaries, they didn't have a table with a flag and prayer points. They hadn't sent that stuff in. So the Ukrainian girls just gathered around the 9 Russian girls, and they started praying. They started interceding for Russia. And I was standing there with them, and totally, I couldn't speak, let alone pray, because it was just tears to see this happen. And all I thought was, they need a flag, they need a flag. So I ran over to where all the flags were on display, and I grabbed the Russian flag and I brought it over to the Russian girls so that they could have a symbol of their nation whilst the Ukrainian girls are surrounding them. By this stage, most of them are on their knees, their arms around one another, and they stayed and they didn't move to any more countries after that. This one was such a big one. Now, the war didn't end after that, but there was a shift in the spirit. And who knows what God will do with humbled hearts that express love in the most difficult times. So I'm expecting great things. There were many hugs, there was much holding of hands. It was a breakthrough. Now, in the months of fundraising leading up to this arise, you probably noticed I put the Ukrainian flag on everything. Like, it was on my text messages, it was in the emails, it was on the advertising promo. You were probably all sick of it by the time we'd done the fundraising. The flag and sunflowers. And God really drew attention to the fact that out in the whole Arise conference, I only touched one flag in the whole conference. It was the Russian flag. And if you told me that before, I might have doubted you. So God moved in my heart to enlarge it bigger. The cross of Christ is not too narrow for all the nations. And if we want to see conflict cease, it has to come through the cross of Jesus Christ and calling all nations to be a part of his family tree. He loves you. He loves your family. And he is calling not just you. We're very individualistic in our Western mindset. We tend to really think about us and our situation. But God has the long view. And whatever he's doing in your life right now is not just about you. It is about the generations who are yet to come, who he has hope for and purposes for. You are never without hope because you're never without Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I've got some prayer points up on the screen, and I'll just mention them so that as we pray, I want you to position yourself in one of those places. Are you praying for friends and family who are yet to put their faith in Jesus Christ, who are yet to be made right with God and become part of his family tree, that they would receive the gift of faith this Christmas? That we would thank God that he has reached out to us, no matter where we were. He reached out to us and he drew us to be into his family. And he counts us as right with him through the cross of Jesus Christ. That we would put our hope in his Son, who counts us right with him. And that hope would rise in our hearts this Christmas. And that it would rise and it would abound to all nations. That there is no hopeless situation, no hopeless case.